يا الله يا الله.
Zecher Amalek, completely erase any memory of Amalek, which means men, women, and children, the Torah says, do not have the right to exist.
עזה הופכת לדרזדן, כן, שריפה מוחלטת. קלו כל הקיצים, ואנחנו עדיין בראש של אוסלו, ועדיין מקישים בגג, הלילה, עוד חיל האוויר הקיש בגג, לפני שהקפיל מגדל, ללוב, בבית חולים, ליד בית החולים שיפה, במקום לשטח את כל עזה. אז כל ה-64 מנדטים שלך, בנימין נתניהו, צריכים עכשיו להפגין מול הבית שלך. תשמיד את עזה עכשיו,
משה,
עכשיו.
משה, אנחנו נמשיך.
Let me see it.
Jalebi, baby.
I just wanna eat it.
Jalebi, baby.
Baby, let me see it.
Jalebi, baby.
No, I really need it.
Jalebi.
Oh, oh, yeah, oh, oh.
خلص خلص خلص خلص خلص خلص خلص خلص خلص خلص خلص خلص خلص خلص خلص خلص
Thank you.
So the situation in the Gaza Strip is quite literally unbelievable, folks. It's inhuman. It's like nothing I've ever seen. Gaza is literally being reduced to rubble as we speak, as I record this video. Israel has just been bombing them relentlessly. Entire suburbs have been destroyed. Entire families wiped out in an instant. You know, dozens of families, entire family lines. The figures that we're hearing, 8,000 people dead, 3,500 children dead, tens of thousands missing, of course, buried under rubble, dead, I would say. But that's the official figures. Of course, the real figures are much higher than that. But the state of Gaza Strip is unforgivable, what they've been doing, saying that they're bombing Hamas targets, but really, according to Israel, well, pretty well everything is a Hamas target. And it's just unforgivable what's happening. You know, while this is happening, the United States has actually funneled $14.3 billion in aid to Israel through this war, which isn't a war. It takes two armies to have a war. This is genocide happening right before our eyes. There's a lot of response around the world too, folks. They're really trying to escalate this. You know, of course they would use the Palestinian people to do it. And it's brutal what's happening to these people, folks. Like I said, Gaza is virtually unrecognizable.
Story: Israel has invaded the Gaza Strip.
81 Palestinians killed in Israeli airstrikes over the past 3 days.
That have left more than 200 Palestinians dead.
235 Palestinians have died.
571 Palestinians.
More than 600 Palestinians dead.
628.
660 Palestinians dead.
More than 700.
834.
The number of Palestinians killed above 1,000.
1,034 Palestinians dead. Most of them civilians.
1,200.
1,300 Palestinians
dead. 1,400 dead Palestinians.
1,500 Palestinians.
More than
1,650.
More than 1,800.
More than 1,900.
2,000 Palestinians.
More than 2,100 Palestinians dead.
This is a humanitarian.
Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Balgutish. Ya Allah. Ya Allah.
فجأة جميل من جميل يا الله يا الله يا الله دمار دمار دمار دمار دمار يا رب يا رب يا رب حسبي الله ونعم الوكيل
شباب تعالوا
يا الله أطفال أطفال يا الله
روح
حسبي الله ونعم الوكيل حسبي الله ونعم الوكيل حسبي الله ونعم الوكيل يا رب يا الله يا الله يا الله
بنزل على المكان هذا برميل مصدر عن جد مصدر إبادة هذا مش مصدر إبادة والله إبادة
As I said, folks, everything is a target. We saw a couple of weeks ago or a few days ago, they bombed the hospital. They tried to claim that they didn't, but we've definitely established that it was an Israeli rocket that hit the hospital. And they've just bombed another hospital. They bombed the Turkish Friendship Hospital in Gaza, the only hospital that they use for treating cancer in Gaza. I think they bombed today, I think, Al-Quds Hospital as well, which is the big one. And they do this under the pretext of saying there's a Hamas base beneath the hospital. It's absolutely crazy, folks. Like, what they're doing, they're just bombing everything. And you think about it. I mean, there was a post that I saw on Twitter today, and it said, is it immoral to kill children who've been weaponized through brainwashing to grow up and kill you and your family? And this is again echoed by that rabbi who I had on the beginning saying we should kill all the children. He basically says the same thing.
There is no mercy. You may think you're being merciful to a child, but you're not being merciful to the child. You're being vicious to the ultimate victim that this child will grow up and kill.
Yeah, so that's what it's come to, folks. We've gone from Israel saying it isn't killing children at all to Israel saying, well, we can't help but kill the children because they're using them as human shields, to now Israel saying, well, the children deserve to die. It's just incredible, folks. It's incredible the double standards that we're seeing here. But this is genocide of the worst kind being done to some of the most gentle, kindest people on earth, folks. I mean, I've been to Gaza, I've been to Palestine, and these are honestly some of the nicest people I ever met. They're some of the realest, most down-to-earth people I ever met, and what Israel is doing to them is unforgivable. And you can be guaranteed that all of the reports that you hear, all the things that they accuse the Palestinians of doing to Israelis, is what the Israelis are actually doing to the Palestinians. I mean, they've been tormenting these people for years, stealing their children. Yeah, that's a favorite for them. And as I showed you on the last report, they like to take teenagers off into places where there's wrecked buildings and hold them down and break their bones.
That same man, Yitzhak Rabin's response to this non-violent intifada was to institute a policy of, quote, might and beatings. This official policy of the state to break the bones of Palestinians became known as the Break Their Bones policy because soldiers who committed these crimes, when interviewed, said that they were carrying out official orders that came from the very top.
Yeah, just brutal stuff, folks. They've also been desecrating graves in West Bank while all this has been going on. Yeah, lovely sort of treatment. And this is supposed to be a war against Hamas, right? In the last 2 weeks, the last 20 days, they've shot over 90 people. Snipers have shot over 90 teenagers in West Bank. They've shot over 1,300 others, just wounded them. As I said, they like to wound to maim, you know, shoot to maim. They shoot them in the groin, shoot them in the kneecap, shoot them in the elbow, somewhere that's going to permanently disable them. That's what they do. They've been burning down homes in West Bank. They've been bombing homes in West Bank. They drive around West Bank and they spray skunk water on the houses. This is sewage mixed with sulfur and other chemicals. It's a terrible, terrible smell, the worst thing you've ever smelt. If you get any of it on you at all, it lasts for 4 days before the smell goes away. They literally spray Palestinian homes with this stuff, folks. That's what they do. And all of the stuff that they've been saying about Gaza Strip. You know, we're warning them to leave and we're sending out messages and we're ringing homes and telling them to get to safety. There is no safety. They've blocked all the borders. They're saying now that Hamas is preventing people from leaving. It's not Hamas. Israel has bombed all of the border crossings. It's telling people to go to safe zones, and then it's bombing the safe zones that it tells people to go to. It's using white phosphorus bombs. And the policy is take no prisoners. They're literally executing the Palestinians that they come across. You know, the ground invasion is in there now. And you saw what they think about the ground invasion. They're just celebrating. They're partying. They're dancing. They're having a great time because they're about to go in there and kill at close range, which means they can maim and torture and rape and pillage and plunder all they want. They've made sure that Gaza is dark. There's no communication. There's no cell phone signal. There's nothing coming out of Gaza now. So no one can broadcast any of the war crimes that the Israelis are carrying out against these people. And they're literally partying, getting ready to go in there because they know that it's going to be a bloodfest. Now, these are really some of the sickest people, folks. I mean, you saw those dancing girls that I had on at the start getting ready to go in for the ground invasion.
I don't like the look of it. Oompa, loompa, doopa-dee-da. If you're not greedy, you will go far. You...
And like I said, they take no prisoners. Any Palestinian that they find, they're executing. Some of the video footage that has been coming out, and I warn you, this is a little confronting, but I think you need to see it anyway. Is this what they're doing with normal Palestinian civilians? Taping their hands behind their back, taping their eyes up, and pushing them into a pit, sometimes shooting them in the back as they go in, sometimes just pushing them into the pit full of tires. You know, then they set the tires on fire and they just burn them alive or dead. That's what they're doing with the Palestinians. This is not a war. This is not clearing out Hamas. This is ethnic cleansing. And it's being supported by so many countries around the world, and it's time for the people of the world to pay attention to what's really going on here.
تحية للمعلم أحلى تحية للمعلم كرامة للعيون العيون الحلوة والبدلة الزيتية اللي ما يلبسها
اقسم بالله انت من هون هو من هنيك مش بحال الدنيا يعني
ركب يلا يلا ركب ركب ركب ركب ركب
Yeah, and that's what they're doing in Gaza Strip as we speak, folks. And like I said, they're also ransacking West Bank, shooting people in West Bank, bombing houses. There was a journalist in West Bank called Shireen Abu Akleh who was killed by Israelis. And the people of her apartment block, the whole building, went out mourning for this journalist who'd been killed, went to her funeral. While they were away at the funeral, a whole bunch of Israeli settlers came in, a busload of them, and literally ran and raced and scrambled as quickly as they could to run in and take over all the apartments while the building was vacant. You imagine going to a funeral for someone that you really respect and coming home to find that your whole house has been stolen, everything in it. They would have kept all the stuff as well. They just don't give anything back to you. They just go in and take over the house and say, well, no, you don't live here anymore. You imagine that happening when you've just gone out, you've come back from a funeral. It's what the settlers do. They're just the cruelest people, folks. They're absolutely incredible, you know. And, you know, the mocking videos that they do, mocking them, still making videos mocking them for having no water and no electricity. And that's the thing, you know, no water and no electricity in Gaza Strip as it's been bombed the way it is. You imagine a bomb comes down, you're trapped under rubble. You're alive, but you're trapped, but you've got no cell phone. You've got no way of alerting anybody to the fact that you're there. That's one of the things that happens when you cut off comms to these places. People are trapped under the rubble. There's no way of even finding them. A bomb goes off, you can't even call your sister or call your brother to say, are you okay? And they might be in the next room, trapped under something, and you don't even know they're there. And they can't call you, and you can't call them. The whole place is a mess. Someone could be within 10 or 20 feet of you and alive, and they can't get out, and you don't know where they are. And no one can call anybody. It's absolutely dreadful, folks, what's going on. And the hatred of the people. They just want to destroy the Palestinians. They just want to incinerate all of Gaza. You know, recently you saw Benjamin Netanyahu come out with that new map of the Middle East where Palestine wasn't on it. That was just a few weeks before this happened. And everybody's supporting it, folks. Everybody's supporting it. And Israel is crying victim through the whole thing, of course. Huge protests around the world, though. I mean, that's one good thing to see is the amount of protests there are around the world. And they are absolutely enormous, some of these protests.
Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palestine, Palest calling for a ceasefire.
People who are calling for a ceasefire now do not understand Hamas. That is not possible. It would be such a gift to Hamas because they would spend whatever time there was a ceasefire in effect rebuilding their armaments, you know, creating stronger positions to be able to fend off an eventual assault by the Israelis. So we're in a very different world. I don't think it had to be the world we're in, but that's where we are, and we've got to figure our way forward through it.
This has been going on for 75 years now. It's time for Israel to stop oppressing the Palestinian people.
İsrail, biz de seni savaş suçlusu olarak dünyaya ilan edeceğiz. Ve şimdi bunun hazırlığı içindeyiz.
We're calling to stop the attacks on civilians in Gaza. We're calling for an agreement. We're calling for peace. We're calling to cease fire. Continuing the war will not bring security, not to the Israelis and not to the Palestinians.
A lot of people speaking out about this. Of course, the media is spinning it as supporters of Hamas, when it's not supporters of Hamas. It's people protesting the slaughter of the Palestinian people. You know, I had 14 friends in Gaza Strip, or 12 friends in Gaza Strip. When I went there in 2012, I made friends with people, and made friends with a couple of people since I left as well, just on chat forums and things. But I had 12 good friends in Gaza Strip. In 2014, seven of them were killed. In this last confrontation, four of them have just gone off the map. I haven't heard from them. I got one left, and that's Nidal. He is such a kind and gentle man. And when I see what they are doing to the Palestinian people, what they're doing to the prisoners that they're taking, just any Palestinian that they find, you know, all Nidal wants to do is live a peaceful life and raise his daughter. He's got a couple of beautiful sisters. They just want to live peaceful lives. You know, when I see what they're doing to those prisoners, and I think, you know, that could be the fate of my friend Nidal, it's really, really difficult to deal with all of this stuff that's going on, folks. And as I've said, you know, this has all been supported by our politicians. That's why this is happening. They're supporting a genocide. Rickshaw Shitsack in England, supporting a genocide. Peter Dutton in Australia. The frickin' government of the United States giving them $14.3 billion to go and genocide the Palestinian people. These are all war criminals. All of them are war criminals. So their governments are invalid, for God's sake. They're all invalid. You know, there's legislation in England. Shitsack went on there the other day himself and he said, you can't be supporting terrorism. You can't be supporting extremism. You can't be supporting violence against different ethnic groups or whatever. And by the same token, he's supporting Israel in this ethnic cleansing of Gaza. And it's ethnic cleansing, folks. Look what they're doing to these people. Look how they've treated these people for the last 75 years. And look what the culmination of it has become. And it's like shooting fish in a barrel, folks. They've got no army. They've got no weapons. These are civilians. All this bullshit that they tell you. They show you a little fancy graphic, which looks like it's out of some game that you play, some you know, PlayStation game, which shows a Hamas base beneath our Quds hospital. Oh yeah, like we know it's there because Israel gives us this colourful graphic to show us that it's there without any solid proof at all. It's just all propaganda, folks, propaganda of war. And the people that are pushing it, like Ben Shapiro, what I just showed you, what they're doing to the Palestinian prisoners, taping their eyes up, taping their hands up. And these aren't terrorists. These aren't Hamas. These are civilians. These are just normal people trying to live lives. That's what they're doing to these people. What they're doing to these children that are shaking, can't stop shaking for hours on end. The sheer terror they're putting people through. And this is what criminal freaking maggots like Ben Shapiro are pushing. Criminal fucking maggots like Jordan Peterson, RFK. Everybody who's supporting this, these are war criminals. These are parasites. These are people who are sadists of the worst kind. You know, and this is unfortunately what this Bolshevik mentality is. And that's what we're dealing with, folks. You know, Israel is quite literally the most evil state that has ever existed in the history of the world. And Benjamin Netanyahu is one of the most evil men who has ever walked this earth. He really is, folks. And he's been supported by all of our parasitic governments while they're all crying victim. You know, and Israel's continuing to cry victim. It's gone and attacked Lebanon as well at this time. Also gone and attacked Syria. While it's saying, oh no, Syria's attacking us and Lebanon's attacking us, even though they've been occupying Lebanon for years. You know, they're really trying to create a regional conflict. That's what they want to do, folks. It's a big plan. See, even with the whole Palestinian-Israeli thing, and I feel for people on both sides, you know, it's very difficult to feel too much sympathy for the Israelis when you see the mentality of the IDF. And how they are reveling in going and tormenting the Palestinians. When you see so many Israeli people making fun of the Palestinians and mocking them and all of the stuff they're doing, I mean, it becomes very difficult to have a lot of sympathy for them. But there's still a lot of good people in there. And I mean, ultimately, it's about the people against the ruling elite anyway, because all of these people that are even doing that shit are all brainwashed into doing it. But the propaganda that Israel is pumping out is absolutely incredible, folks. Absolutely incredible. And the mocking of the Palestinian people is absolutely incredible. And to see all the politicians supporting it, all of them are supporting it, folks. It's ridiculous. So many Western politicians are supporting it. Even Trump is supporting it.
We're not going to be getting into our country. I will cancel the student visas of Hamas and sympathizers on college campuses. The college campuses are being taken over. And all of the resident aliens who joined in the pro-jihadist protest this month, nobody's ever seen anything like it. Come 2025, we will find you and we will deport you. We will deport you.
You know, I don't know how people could still be on the Trump train. I really don't. This guy is a Zionist stooge. His daughter is married to freaking Jared Kushner, for God's sake. He sold you all out on January 6th. You know, and a month before that, or even 2 weeks before that, I even said on one of my radio shows that all it will take will be some sort of a march on the Capitol building, and then Antifa and all these people will go in and interfere, and it'll be this big insurrection, and it'll all happen, and then they'll try to outlaw the Republican Party and say that all you guys are domestic terrorists, all you Trump supporters. I said this 2 weeks before it happened. And then he goes and does it, and everyone marches down the street knowing that Antifa and all these people are going to go and disrupt proceedings. And there were those big facial recognition cameras up there. So everyone's marching down the street, putting themselves on facial recognition, and Trump pisses off down to Florida. And they have a bit of theatrics and charges and indictments against him and blah, blah, blah. It's all theatrics, folks. The whole thing is theatrics. And even this whole war that's going on, they want to collapse everything. And they'll use the Palestinian people to do it. Very clever the way they're doing it, because it is such a moral issue. And Palestine needs to be dealt with. It needs to be dealt with in the right way. They need to have their country back. They need to be allowed to live in dignity, because they're a good people. And even all you Christians out there, Well, Jesus was born in Palestine. He was born in Bethlehem. Why are you out there cheering this on? I said before, 35% of Gaza is Christian. 35% of Palestine is Christian. The Jews hate the Christians. And you're cheering the Jews to go and kill the Christians. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And there's no Sharia law in Gaza. There's no Sharia law in Palestine. You don't have to wear a burqa or anything like that. And, you know, the people in Gaza, I asked my friends Soraya and Mace, because Mace never wore a burqa. She always wore her hair out. She's a Muslim. She wore her hair out. She didn't care about it. And Soraya used to wear the whole covering. Not a face in that, but she wore the scarf and, you know, the head covering. Excuse me. And I said to them, what's the deal with the burqa? Like, do they make you wear this burqa and this covering? You know, you wear these baggy clothes, these sort of robes, so you can't really see your bod. And, you know, you can't really see what you look like so much. Do they make you do this? And they said, no, we do it ourselves. We like to do it. And I said, why? And they said, well, basically because the men can't be trusted. You know, we want to have a faithful husband. We want to have a husband who loves us for who we are. So we wear this. Because if we show you our stuff, you know, you fall in love with the stuff. You think, oh, I like what she looks like. And you get this lustful thing going on. And are you really in love with me, or are you in love with what I look like? Because I'm here. This is me. And sometimes this is just me, my eyes. If you can fall in love with my eyes, if you can fall in love with who I am, and that's right here. You don't need to see the rest of it. But if you fall in love with that and it's an honest thing, then you get the rest of it. Then you get to see what you fell in love with. You know, and they go home. I mean, these Muslim women go home. They're dressed super hot under these clothing that they're wearing. And they go home and close the door, and they're a hot-looking woman for their husband. You know, it's this more personal, loving thing. And when she explained it to me that way, that, yeah, we do it because the men can't be trusted. The men fall in love with all your stuff rather than who you are. And that's why we like to wear the burqa, because, you know, it protects us from, you know, having the wrong sort of people chase after us. You know, they get the wrong idea. They come on with the wrong thing, and they may not be in love with me. They may just be in love with what I look like, you know, so... To me, that was a beautiful thing. So I think the whole culture is misunderstood. And I don't do any religion, folks. You say I'm an apologist from Islam and all these people say all this weird shit. I'm not any of that sort of stuff, folks. I just, you know, I've travelled a lot. I've met a lot of people from a lot of walks of life. And honestly, the most beautiful people I met anywhere were the people, you know, when I snuck into Gaza. You know, the terrible terrorists in Gaza. I snuck into Gaza. And I snuck in, Hamas didn't know I was coming. I just snuck in through a rebel tunnel. I ran around Gaza for 10 days with a video camera. You know, I didn't go to all of the places that they would take you to show you what they want to show you. I met the people on the street. Just talked to average people. I didn't have any problem with anyone. They knew I wasn't a Muslim. They knew I wasn't a Christian. We had some incredible philosophical conversations with some of these people. You know, and when we got detained on the way out, they stopped us at the gate, the tunnels, because we had all sorts of shit go on. Hamas found out we were in there. They came and confiscated our passports. They came and knocked on the door in the middle of a radio interview. And they said, you need to come into the Ministry of Interior the following day to discuss our presence in Gaza. So, you know, okay, that's interesting. If you try doing that in another country, they just arrest you on the spot. You had to give our passports to them. They kept our passports for the whole time we were in there, which was a little freaky. And then just as we were leaving, they detained us and they interrogated us for 5 hours, gave us tea and bickies. They even said to me, you know, we could put you out in front of a firing squad because you broke into our country illegally. You could be an Israeli spy. And I said, well, you know, I'm not an Israeli spy. And they were fine. You know, they sent our lost luggage after us. They were fine. These were not people who wanted to hurt us. They just wanted to know why I was there. And the only reason I was there was because I wanted to have a look, because I heard about these people. I heard about this enclave of terrorists. It just doesn't sound right, you know. Nothing sounds right. When you look into the story of Palestine, none of it sounds right. So I went and had a look, and they were the kindest people that I've ever met. And that's one of the reasons I think they're doing it to these people and why they want to, you know, use it to spur on this World War III they want to create, because these are beautiful people that should be defended and people should step up to defend them. Look what they did with Ukraine. I mean, Russia went into Ukraine, blah, blah, blah. We know how contrived all that was. Suddenly the whole world, all the publicity and all this shit is to go and save Ukraine. What about the Palestinians? What about the Palestinians, what they've been through and what they suffer every day under this brutal apartheid regime that is modern-day Israel. And it honestly is, folks, the most evil state that has ever existed in modern history. It really is, folks. It's disgraceful. Absolutely disgraceful, you know. Pure hatred for all that is good comes from these people. The IDF are the most brutal, sadistic group of immoral cowards disguised as an army that the world has ever seen. And they're very, very well funded. High technology. They've got everything they need to commit as many genocides as they want. You've got politicians in the United States, all these dual Israeli citizens, saying that we need to give Israel anything it wants, anytime it wants, no questions asked.
We should be doing three things. One, support Israel, whatever they need, whenever they need it, no questions asked. Two, eliminate Hamas. Don't weaken them, eliminate them, because if we don't, they will do this again. And three, do whatever it takes to get our hostages home.
Absolute insanity, folks. Of course, like I said, all these people are dual Israeli citizens. They all need to be kicked out of government. All these people need to be kicked out of the United States government because they have a loyalty for Israel, which supersedes their loyalty for the United States, which is why they're bleeding the United States dry and sending all of this stuff to Israel so we can be their little attack dog in the Middle East. And, you know, they intend to just completely deplete the United States as they're doing and wipe out as much of the Arab world as they can in the process. Same with what's going on in EU. All of these migrants and all of these invaders that are coming into the EU, the only way to eliminate this problem is to leave the European Union right now. Just do it, so now we're out. No paperwork to fill out. We're out today. Goodbye. And not only that, all of you heads of the EU, you've only done this so you could open our borders and flood our countries with migrants. So we're taking all of you guys down. We'll take you all to The Hague, whatever. Put you on Christmas Island, whatever. You're done. You're out. You know, we're going to take our countries back. We're going to close our borders. And we're going to send the migrants home. That's what needs to happen. You know, and if your government won't do it, well, your government's a war criminal. If your government is supporting what's going on in Israel right now, then your government is populated by war criminals. They're supporting a genocide. They're supporting an ethnic cleansing operation. So how much validity have they got? You know, why would you even perceive these people to be valid? If they're doing this, you've got to have laws in your country that says you can't support war crimes, you can't support ethnic cleansing, you can't support racism, you can't support apartheid. Everything that Israel is doing right now. So we've got the ability to pull all of our governments out of power, charge all of these politicians with war crimes, and if we can't do that, well then thank you for confirming that there is no law on this earth. And it's about time we establish some real law, some natural law, and held these people to account by any way that it needs to be done. Because what's happening here cannot be borne, folks. And that's what you've got to understand. I've said it before. You know, if your politicians are going to condone this, then what do you think they've got in store for you? Because if we do not heal the moral dilemma, which is Palestine, which is the greatest moral dilemma in the world today and has been for at least the last 16 or 17 years, if we don't deal with this, then the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. I mean, really, it's been going on for 75 years, but the siege on Gaza Strip that's been going on since 2007 is just outrageous, and this is what it's culminated into. And this was a false flag, folks. This whole attack on Israel was a false flag. It's so obvious that it was a false flag. Paragliders. You can't get A4 paper and crayons in Gaza Strip, for God's sake. Where are you going to get paragliders? Parachutes? And they were parachutes. They were not paragliders. They were parachutes that were coming down. And even if they were paragliders, where did they do their training? What, Israel didn't notice this paraglider training going on? Where did they get the training for jumping in parachutes? Or they just jumped out of parachutes, did they? Where did they get the plane to do it? None of this stuff makes any sense. All the guards stood down, and there's so many interviews coming out now where people are saying that all of the Israelis that were killed in this initial encounter on October the 6th were killed by Israeli forces in the crossfire. Hamas treated them very well until the IDF showed up, and they just started killing everybody because that's what they do. There's even reports that they actually used tanks and they shelled some of the houses of the Israelis in there.
According to this Haaretz article, and I'll just read exactly what he says. This is according to Nir Hasson, the Israeli journalist. He says, and he's quoting a resident of the Be'eri who survived. He says, after commanders in the field made difficult decisions, including shelling houses with all their occupants inside in order to eliminate the terrorists along with the hostages, did the IDF complete the takeover of the kibbutz. The price was terrible. At least 112 Be'eri people were killed. So there's also another part of this article on October 11th that that quotes a guy named Erez, a deputy commander, and he says they fought inside the kibbutz from house to house with the tanks. We had no choice. So they're actually firing tank shells. It's not as if there was, there was clearly close combat, and maybe some of them were killed by friendly fire, in combat, in gun battles between Hamas and the Israeli forces. And that seems to be what Yasmin Porat, the first one to come out and give her testimony, was describing. However,
so she came out and said that it was friendly fire. That's what she was describing.
She was saying that that Israelis were killed by Israeli gunfire, not that the Israeli military decided only to kill their own people, but so basically at first what we learned from her testimony is that best case scenario is that it was friendly fire, in a clash between the two sides. But later, with the publication of these other articles, what became clear is the Israeli military made a decision in the field to kill everyone there using tank shells and just opening fire on the houses where Hamas was holding these hostages. We have to look at this in context of something called the Hannibal Directive, which is an Israeli military procedure to kill any Israeli soldier taken captive by enemy forces. So in 2014, this was implemented in the 51-day war on Gaza in the southern city of Rafah, where Hamas had managed to take captive an Israeli soldier named Hadar Golden. And when that happened, the Israeli military used the full might of its force and bombed this area massively, killing Hadar Golden, their own soldier, as well as well over 100 Palestinians at the same time. This became known as Black Friday among Palestinians. So this is the Hannibal Directive, and I think what we saw in Be'eri, where this occurred on October 7th, is the very same logic as what happened in 2014, the Hannibal Directive, that we are not going to allow any Israelis to be taken captive, taken hostage, so we're just going to kill them all. So then there can be no negotiations. And then look at what's happening inside the Gaza Strip, where hundreds of Israelis are held hostage and captive by Hamas, and Israel is doing nothing, at least publicly, to secure the release. There's no negotiations that anyone knows about, and is instead bombing the entire place to smithereens, turning it into a big pile of rubble and killing, we're well over 5,000 Palestinians dead, including 400 overnight. And according to Hamas, dozens of Israeli hostages have been killed in the bombing too, which makes perfect sense.
Yeah, this is a huge setup, folks. This was a false flag which staged by Israel to give them the excuse to go into Gaza and commit this ethnic cleansing that they're doing in there now. And they're even saying now they're going to keep going until Hamas releases the hostages. They've bombed the shit out of everywhere. If there was any hostages in there, then they've already been bombed by Israel, I would say.
They are saying that the estimated number of people killed in airstrikes by the Israelis, Hamas held people, so hostages killed in airstrikes by the Israelis, is now at 50. That is coming from the Al-Qassam Brigade, which is the armed wing of Hamas. As I say, it comes from their Telegram channel on social media. We're unable to verify those numbers, but they do say that 50 of the hostages that they had been holding have now been killed as a result of Israeli airstrikes. Now, just earlier, authorities in Israel said that they think some 224 people are being held hostage by Hamas.
They're going in there and they're just killing everybody. They want the body count high because that's the only thing that justifies what they're doing. They're still pushing the whole beheaded babies bullshit. That was, everybody retracted their statements. There was a big TV article about the beheaded babies, though. But of course, when they retracted the statement, it was just a little tweet. No big TV article actually saying, oh, we were mistaken, sorry, stop pushing this. Even Biden retracted the statement, but again, it was just a little mumble. You know, so it's incredible, folks. They just keep pushing this shit. And this is the worst crime in modern memory. It really is. This is disgraceful, what's going on here. 2.3 million people, over 50% of the population, 14 years old or younger, and they're calling this a war. No artillery, no weapons, no RVs, no nothing. No nothing. Sane terrorists. It's sick, folks. It's absolutely sick. Yeah, I could go on and on about it. And I guess I have been. But what do you do, folks? What do you do? It's really painful to see this sort of stuff going on. Of course, closer to the home front, as you might know, and as I mentioned on the last report, we had a terrible hurricane in Acapulco, which has really wiped out a lot of Acapulco, folks, done an awful lot of damage. Town is pretty much destroyed. My yard looks pretty drastic. The house survived, but the yard is pretty well full of leaves and a little rubble. Only trees around the place kind of snapped like twigs. And the road outside is pretty messed up. But that's what you expect. It's remarkable what has happened and the amount of damage that's happened there, folks. It was a very, very unusual hurricane. You've probably seen Jeff Berwick's reports. I don't need to talk about it too much because he's done some great reports on it. But it came out of nowhere. It just came out of nowhere really, really quickly. Like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, it was just a tropical storm. And then by about 9 o'clock at night, they actually alerted people to the fact that actually this is heading, it's now a hurricane. By that time, it was like Category 3 or 4 hurricane, and it's heading for Acapulco. And we expect it to hit about 5 o'clock in the morning, they said. And then in after 9 o'clock, it dropped in pressure down to a Category 5 hurricane, and it hit at 1 a.m., and people were completely unprepared for it, and it really devastated Acapulco. And some of the initial reports that came out were pretty scary sort of stuff.
Acapulco está abandonado por el gobierno. Dado por el huracán más fuerte que ha tocado México, Huracán Otis, categoría 5 con vientos de más de 300 kilómetros por hora. Acapulco está completamente destruido. Las noticias te dicen que hay 30 muertos, pero cualquier acapulqueño con solo recorrer la ciudad sabe que eso no es cierto. Tenemos muertos en las calles, muertos en casas, muertos en hospitales, incluyendo recién nacidos, y muchos más de los cuales no tenemos ni siquiera manera de saber, porque estamos incomunicados. No hay luz, no hay señal. Hay familias que siguen sin contactarse entre ellas. Y ya sé que te dijeron que hay 4 desaparecidos. No les creas, son miles de desaparecidos. Guerrero ya se declaró en estado de emergencia. Todo Acapulco está damnificado. La ciudad a verse desprotegida, sin ningún gobierno apoyando, sin ningún control y con el caos total, da como resultado una sociedad descontrolada, una violencia social generalizada. En Acapulco ya no hay comida. Todos los lugares fueron saqueados, por lo que se viene una hambruna muy fuerte. Y lo primero que va a faltar en nuestras casas es agua, nuestro recurso vital. No hay medicamentos y la ciudad está contaminada. No hay rincón en donde el escombro y la basura dejen de existir. Se vienen enfermedades y muchas muertes. Acapulco está pasando por algo inimaginable. Están atrapados, pero ya no hay gasolina. Además de que todo está bloqueado, sin recursos, sin autoridad, sin control y a este paso sin esperanzas. Todos podemos aportar ya sea donando comida, agua, medicamentos y lo más importante en este momento es difundir. Necesitamos que el gobierno nos voltee a ver. Acapulco no se va a levantar solo. Esto es un trabajo de meses. El gobierno federal y estatal tiene que apoyarnos.
Yeah, pretty drastic, folks. You know, that situation's changed a little bit now. I believe the military is on the ground now. I heard from my housekeeper, who was my ex-bar manager. I wanted to try to keep her in work and keep her employed. You know, employment's very difficult for people in Acapulco. So I used to get her to come around and clean my house once a week. And she said that the army's on the ground now. The biggest problem they've got is no water. Of course, there's not a lot of food, but no water. But things are stabilizing a little bit. Jeff's been doing a lot of work in getting aid in there. He put on a fundraiser, which was really good. I'll put a link below if you want to go and donate to that. It is otishurricanerecovery.com, I think. You'll see it down below anyway. And he's been doing a lot of really good work getting aid into the people, so that's good. And I don't know where I'm going to be going. Like, I'm still in Texas at the moment. It's kind of weird. I mean, so much stuff going on. I've got all this Gaza stuff going on one side, and I've got all this Acapulco hurricane stuff going on the other side. And in the middle of it, I'm kind of homeless now. All my stuff is safe, though, for those people wondering. My flatmate managed to get, I mean, it's because there was no rain, so the water didn't actually come into the house because there was no real water. The tidal surge, the storm surge, didn't reach our place. And all my stuff got out, all my music equipment, my computer. Apparently all my stuff, my computer, my guitars, it's all in the back of a truck somewhere in Mexico City now, which is kind of strange, but that's where it is. But at least it's out of where it was. The cat's safe for all the people who are wondering about the cat. He's good. He's in Mexico City too. But I've got no place to go to now. I've got no home to go to. So I've got to kind of work this out. I'm kind of leaving Texas in a few days, and then I'll jump back into Mexico, just not knowing where I'm going to be. At least when I came from Australia, I knew I had a safe landing because Jeff had somewhere safe for me to come to. But now it's just chaos. I mean, Jeff's working really hard on this rescue effort, and that's great to see. It's great to see the response he's got as well. Really good to see people step up to the plate with this. There were rumors that the army was blocking aid getting in and stuff. I'm not sure if that's the case. It might be. There seems to be aid getting in there now anyway, but any more is always welcome, I'm sure. So, but I can't really go back to Acapulco now. I can't really be doing my walks in the Secret Garden. Secret Garden got pretty trashed, folks. For those who've seen my walks in the Secret Garden, well, as you can see, it looks a little different now. A few familiar sort of signs there with the reptile bird and that little sun dude there with the weird hat on and all that sort of stuff. But it's pretty trashed. The whole place is pretty trashed. The area where the actual event is held is still pretty good. And the guys who run the Secret Garden say, yeah, no worries, we'll be able to rebuild all this by February. And they work pretty quick in Mexico, so that's a chance as well. But it's been pretty drastic, folks. And it was a really unusual storm. It came out of nowhere. How you get a hurricane come off the ocean that's got no water in it is really, really strange. I thought they draw water in. That's where they get their power from, isn't it? How come it was a dry hurricane? More like a tornado that was sent directly to Acapulco. Actually, it was sent directly over my house. I tracked it, and it actually crossed the coast and hit the coast, bullseye on my house. Crazy stuff, folks. Crazy stuff. You know, really, really odd that that would happen. Something else has happened as well, folks, is I've been banned on Twitter for another week. Interesting, when the invasion of Gaza started, I was banned for 7 days, so I couldn't talk about it. And now that they've gone in with the ground invasion and the true hands-on genocide has started, I've been banned for another week. I do have a backup Twitter account, which is just The Crow House. I'll put a link below. You can check that out. My actual Twitter account is Max Egan, but I do have a backup account called The Crow House. And so you can catch me on there if you need to in the time being. Perhaps go and follow that channel as well, or follow that account as well. So it's interesting, the timing of all this sort of stuff. But yeah, so I'm in a bit of a weird place at the moment, folks. I've got to go and find myself somewhere to live and go back to the, kind of jump into the disaster zone, going back to Mexico. Very, very up in the air at the moment. And like I said, with so much stuff going on, and with what's going on in Gaza, I mean, this is really going to escalate into something major if we let it. I mean, there are more than 50 warships from 11 countries now in the Mediterranean, just kind of itching for some sort of conflict. Israel has to stop what it's doing. Israel has revealed its true self. Israel is a terrorist state. Israel was running the whole ISIS operation. Israel is pushing for regional war.
Israel continues to escalate its military operations beyond the Gaza Strip, increasing the threat of a large-scale conflict in the Middle East. Escalation was reported on the front with Syria on October 25th. The early morning, the IDF carried out a series of airstrikes against positions of the Syrian Arab Army in the southern government of Daraa in response to a rocket attack that targeted the Israeli-occupied Golan Heights a day earlier. The strikes claimed the lives of 8 Syrian troops and left at least 7 others wounded. Later in the afternoon, a series of Israeli airstrikes hit Aleppo International Airport in northern Syria, knocking it out of service. The attack marked the 4th time the airport has been hit since the Israeli-Hamas war broke out on October 7th. The airport was targeted by the IDF on October 12th, 14th, and 22nd, and was due to open after repairs following the last strike. The attacks on October 12th and 22nd also targeted Damascus International Airport near the Syrian capital. The last attack on the airport claimed the lives of 2 civilian employees. Israeli military escalation against Gaza and beyond has been increasing tensions in the entire Middle East. On October 24th, the Pentagon said there had been 13 attacks with drones and rockets against United States bases in the region over the last week, with 10 in Iraq and 3 in Syria. At least 21 U.S. service members were wounded in the attacks, according to the Pentagon. More attacks on U.S. bases were reported on October 25th and 26th, with the Islamic Resistance in Iraq, coalition of Iranian-backed Shia armed factions, claiming responsibility. While Israel hoped that its military escalation would deter its regional foes and facilitate its operations in Gaza, the opposite has been happening. According to reports from October 25th, Israel has temporarily consented to a U.S. request to delay the invasion of the Strip. The delay is meant to allow the U.S. military to rush missile defense systems in the region, including for U.S. troops serving in Iraq, Syria, Kuwait, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates to protect them from missiles and rockets, as we've seen over the past few days. This delay is expected to last till next week. Israel faced another setback at the United Nations Security Council on October 25th when Russia and China vetoed a U.S. draft resolution stating that Israel has a right to defend itself and demanding Iran stop exporting arms to armed groups. The two countries called on the UN to act on the Israel-Hamas conflict by calling for pauses in fighting to allow humanitarian aid access, protection of civilians, and a stop to arming Hamas and other armed factions in Gaza. As for now, the IDF continues heavy strikes on Gaza. The bombardment has claimed the lives of nearly 7,000 Palestinians so far. Thousands of women and children were among the dead. The fate of more than 200 Israeli hostages remains in jeopardy because of this situation. More escalation is expected once Israel launches its ground invasion.
Israel did the 9/11 attacks. So many false flags. The Lavon affair. Israel were involved in the Bali bombing as well. There was Israeli fingerprints on that. Very likely Israeli fingerprints on the 7/7 bombings in London. Israel gets in everywhere and it works as a destabilizing force. It's very well funded and it's time for this to stop. It really is. It's time for all funding to be removed from Israel. Any country out there, you need to close your embassies, kick all the Israeli embassies out of your country. Send all these people home, back to wherever they came from. Pull funding from them and let them function on their own and see how they go. Now, Israel is a terrorist state. It's a rogue force in the world. Bibi Netanyahu is criminally insane. Now, who could do this to children? How could people treat prisoners the way we're seeing these prisoners treated that I showed you before? How could anybody do any of this sort of stuff? How could you just bomb so many children and let children suffer?
Men, women, and children, the Torah says, do not have the right to exist.
Like I said, it's gone from we're not killing children to, well, we can't help but kill children because they're human shields, to their children deserve killing. How's it gone from that to that in 20 days? Oh, because we're the victims, you know, blah, blah, blah. People are programmed to hate us. No, the Israelis are programmed to hate everybody. They're programmed into this supremacist ideology. That's the problem with religion, folks. I mean, this is why when people comment on my threads, I just say all religion is demented. Because it is. Because all religion has a seed of supremacy at its core. Every single one of them. Now, every religion will say, well, you've got to be tolerant of the other religions and we're all going to get along. But this is the one that's the right one. This is the one where you'll go to heaven. This is the one where you'll meet God. Doesn't matter whether it's Christian, whether it's Muslim, whether it's Hindu. Doesn't matter what it is. They all say, this is the way. This is the way. You've got to be tolerant of all the other ones, but this is the way. And that plants that seed of supremacy in everybody's mind, and then they fight about it. And religion's always been one of the leading causes of death in the whole world. It really has. And then, of course, you've got the Jewish faith, where you claim that you're God's chosen and that everybody should worship you.
I just want to say this to our Christian friends, mm-hmm. just to call it as it is and say it straight out. You know, you guys are worshiping one Jew. That's a mistake. You should be worshiping every single one of us, because we all die for your sins every single day. And that's exactly what's going on here. Yeah.
It's just crazy, folks. That's the mentality that we're dealing with. And the absolute sadistic nature of this faith, especially the Bolshevik version of it, or whatever you want to call it, I don't know. I mean, like I said, all religion is demented, as far as I can see. But to have that amount of disdain and hate for life that we're seeing come from these people, and the killing and maiming and hatefulness and hurt inflicted upon others while crying victim at the same time. Like, he's stabbing you, saying, oh, he's hitting me. You know, it's just incredible what we have to put up with. And it's got to stop, folks.
This is how Israel occupied Palestine since 1948.
This whole ideology, it's like a cancer of human consciousness. It really is. And like, people are going to say that I'm anti-Semitic for saying that. Well, you know, if speaking out against this genocide and against this slaughter of children, against all these false flags and all of this shit that happens in our society, if that's being anti-Semitic, well, okay, I'll wear that label like a badge on my chest. I really will. Because this has got to stop, folks. It's absolutely got to stop. But anyway, I'm getting away from myself. I just wanted to do a video for you, let you know I was alive anyway. I'm still in Texas. I was going to go home to Acapulco on Monday, actually, because I had a ticket with United Airlines. And I was thinking, well, you know, what am I even doing here in the United States? I may as well just go back to Acapulco straight after the talk in San Diego. And the thing with United Airline tickets, the beauty of United Airlines is you can change your ticket all the time, which is really good. Just change it to another destination. And I was going to go back to Acapulco, but then I thought, no, I'll come over to Houston. It was the original plan. Then I changed it and I decided to go back to Acapulco. Then I thought, no, I'm hanging out with Jason. I'll come back to Texas. So I changed it to Texas. That was on Monday. And I came back to Texas. And then on Tuesday morning at 1 a.m., that hurricane hit. And crazy stuff. Then I was going to go back to Acapulco on Wednesday or Thursday. But of course I couldn't, because Acapulco Airport wasn't functioning anymore. So I've had to change all these tickets and blah, blah, blah. I don't know what I'm doing at the moment. It's been a really crazy week. And so much has happened. And it's difficult dealing with all of that Acapulco stuff with what's going on in Gaza. It's been really difficult watching my friends die. I don't like this. This is what got me going in 2014, and a lot of people wonder why I get so passionate about Gaza. Well, it's because I've been there, and I've got people there, and I know the real story about what's going on there, and it's nothing like what people are being told. It's not a den of terrorists. It's just a civilian population wondering why the world has forgotten them. The world seems so moral and upstanding about so many causes and so many issues. They'll stand up for the whales, they'll stand up for some little snail that's endangered, they'll stand up for Ukraine, they'll stand up for anybody that there's some benefit in them for it. There's no benefit in them standing up for the people of Palestine, and so they're just forgotten. And like I said, it's a system of surplusing and warehousing human beings It's the greatest moral dilemma in the world today. And if we do not heal Palestine, and we do not stand up for ourselves to do it, then the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. And what's happening now with these, you know, 50 warships from 11 different countries in the Mediterranean and the Red Sea? It's looking pretty ugly, folks. Protests all around the world. And even with all these protests and things, I mean, you know, it's all very well doing that. You know, all the people who are protesting, you should be basically calling your governments out as being invalid, not going out there and protesting and say, we want change, we want this to stop. Go there and protest the fact that your government is being run by war criminals, because that's the crux of the biscuit, folks. That's what's going on. We need to identify this fact. I mean, if we look at this through the right type of eyes, you know, we've got an opportunity to take the world back if we choose to do it, but we've almost reached the point of no return anyway, because we've gone past where, you know, I mean, we're in ultimate crazy town now. Some of the violence on the streets, some of the stuff we're seeing happening in our own communities, our society is breaking down. Everything's melting down. And it's getting pretty drastic for everybody. So we've kind of reached that point where even if we were to go and take our governments down, we were to change the system into what we want it to be, it's never going back to the way it was. Things are never going back to the way they were. Remember, it was just 2 weeks to flatten the curve, and now we don't know what a woman is, and we're out there genociding children while the war cheers us on. It's crazy, folks. It's absolutely crazy. You know, so, you know, we've got to a point where it's the ultimate spiritual battle that we're facing here. Help those around you. Help yourself as well. Speaking of helping those around you, folks, there's also another fundraiser. This guy's actually messaged me a couple of times. And he lives in Acapulco, and he's got quite a large family, and everybody's been really devastated by this hurricane, folks, I've got to say. So there's this guy called Eddie, and he's running a fundraiser as well, trying to get some funds for his family. So if anybody can possibly help him out, that's another one you could probably donate to as well. I mean, you know, a lot of people in a lot of need at the moment, folks. And thanks to all the people that have helped Jeff out with his fundraiser. That's been amazing. He reached like, he got like $200,000 overnight, basically, for the people in Acapulco, which is incredible. There's orphanages there. There's a lot of people suffering, folks. But also this other guy, Eddie. So if you could maybe, anyone's got a bit spare, they can throw that way. I mean, everybody's in a lot of need at the moment. And there's going to be more of this around the world as we go through all this. It's going to get crazy, you know. Society is breaking down. You know, we've got to that point where we've reached, like, the point of no return. We've passed this Rubicon where there's going to be a lot of people suffer around us. You're going to have a lot of people still dying from the jab. Estimates are like 1 billion people have died from the jab so far, folks. And a lot of the craziness we're seeing on the street, I've got to wonder whether any of this has got to do with the jab. I mean, I think there's more to it than just fentanyl and trank. Society's in a state of freefall. And, you know, we've reached this point of no return. So as much as, you know, I want to wake people up and I want to do the right thing, and I mean, everything I've done in my life, I've been trying to prevent this moment from happening. But now we're here. So, you know, and the goal is to have as much expanded consciousness make it through to the other side, so we've got some sort of a good starting point. But ultimately, I think a lot of it is the state you're in when you leave this realm as well. And people out there really need to start doing the inner work yourself. Start getting that focus on yourself, that focus on the light at the end of the tunnel that you can get through. As I've often said, folks, you've got to be able to face infinity without flinching. Just step onto the new path, whatever that's going to be, because it's never going back to the way it was. Even if we were to pull down all our governments and stop all this mess that's happening, it's never going to go back to the point where you're just sitting there going to work and going home and watching TV and going to the club and all of this sort of stuff was so much of a matrix. You know, we got so immersed in a false reality that we forgot what real reality is. And we're about to get a pretty short, sharp lesson in what real reality is. Because they want to push this whole World War III thing, they really do. I mean, that's what it's ultimately about anyway, folks, because they all work together. It's about depopulation. It's about the Great Reset, about that what they want to do. They want to reduce the population down to 500 million, but they've got to do it in a way that is believable for the people to buy into it. You know, isn't our governments did any of this? It's just a mixture of circumstances and all this stuff that happened. Well, you know, they're doing it, folks. And this is what we told you they were going to do for years and years and years. And ultimately, in these wars, you know, they put all the people against each other, even with what's happening now. I mean, I'm so angry with Israel. And I've got so much disdain for so much of the Israeli population because they're condoning this. But they're meant to stir that up in me. I mean, even when you look at Albert Pike's Three Wars, he says that Israel will eventually be destroyed by an uprising of the Muslim world who will stomp out Israel altogether. That's what Albert Pike said. This is the way to get rid of Israel, is to have it do what it's doing now.
Extraordinary tale of survival here. A 16-year-old Israeli-American teen, gunman bursting into his family's home, killing his father and mother who were shielding him so he would survive. And when they came back to make sure the whole family was dead, the son was hiding for 9 hours with a bullet in his stomach. James Longman with that son tonight.
They threw a grenade or something. It exploded. The last thing my dad said is he lost his arm, and then my mom died on top of me.
Even when you look at who set up Israel and why they set it up and what they put it all there for, do you think any of this is actually benefiting Israel? I mean, the whole world's turning against them now, and rightly so. You know, so... But even, you know, you get that feeling, but ultimately what you've got to realize is that the people in Israel only act the way they act because they're brainwashed and programmed into doing that. And it's the same with all societies. Again, this is where religion falls down. And ultimately this is a war that's being waged against the ruling elite and the people. And that's all of us. And divide and conquer is the motto. So what an opportunity this is for us to just pull the plug on our governments. I mean, anybody who's sending you to one of these warships and telling you to go to war, just don't go. Imagine if all the Israeli soldiers said that. No, we're not going to go. We're not going to go ethnically cleanse the Palestinians. We're going to turn on our government, which is demanding we do this, and we're going to pull them out of power. Now, they don't, though, because they're so brainwashed and so programmed. I mean, they've got that light show going on all the time, telling them that they're under rocket attack. When they're not, it's just a light show. It's just a fireworks display. So, you know, you look at the state of the world, folks, and how do you see us coming back from this? How do you see us going back to anything that actually looks what we thought normality looked like before all this happened? I mean, COVID has really been the great unveiling, and what the world's become since then is even more of an unveiling. At least it's not a conspiracy theory anymore. I mean, all the stuff I've been talking about for decades and other people have. So many people have been warning you about what's going on behind the curtain. You know, that great quote by Frank Zappa when he said that the illusion of freedom will continue for as long as it's profitable to continue the illusion. At the point where the illusion becomes too expensive to maintain, they'll pull down the furniture, they'll move the tables and chairs out of the way, and they'll pull back the curtain and you'll see the brick wall at the back of the theatre. Something like that. And that's pretty much what's happening. People can see the brick wall at the back of the theatre now. People can see what a shit show and what a charade this has been. But what they should be able to see more than anything is the fact that your government is a war criminal. Your government is populated by war criminals. This gives you a huge opportunity to change things if we choose to do it, if we choose to step into that. So yeah, I guess I'll leave it there for now. I've had a lot of trouble getting this video done, actually. This is my third attempt doing this video, folks. I did one video, it only got 5 minutes of audio, and then it dropped out for the rest of the hour. So I did a second video, and that went for about 40 minutes or so, and then the last however long, 15 or 20 minutes, dropped out of it. So I've come on here to redo the ending, so the lighting may look a little different and stuff, but yeah, crazy stuff. Three times trying to do this video. As I said before, thank you to all the people who've helped with Jeff's fundraiser for the people of Acapulco through this incredible disaster that we've had. There's also another fundraiser, a guy called Eddie. He's got quite a large family in Acapulco. He could really use some help, folks, if you've got any spare change to throw his way. That would be great. Thank you to anybody who's ever sent me any kind words or sent me any assistance or anything, folks. It's going to be quite difficult at the moment because I've got to look for a new home. It's kind of crazy. It's really weird. I mean, fortunately, my lifestyle, you know, I've lived a kind of a transient lifestyle as a musician most of my life, so it's kind of prepared me to live out of a suitcase. And I don't know where I'll end up going. I'm supposed to go and do a whole bunch of talks in Croatia next year. Who knows, we might be in the middle of World War III by next year. But even then, I mean, I think we can avert that. I think we can avert all this if we really choose to step up to the plate. Will we do it? I doubt it. I doubt that the human race will. Which is why you've got to remove your attachment for everything that's happening and remove your attachment to the things that you can't change. It's like with what's going on in Gaza. I really care about my friends in Gaza. I do what I can to try to make some sort of a positive change there. But I can't physically change it myself. I just have to accept whatever outcome is going to happen from that. It's a really difficult time for a lot of people. Like I said, the protests around the world are incredible. But really, they should be focused on the root cause of the problem. And the root cause of the problem is our governments, the governments that are funding this atrocity. As I said before, close all the embassies, kick all the Israelis out, tell them to go fend for themselves. We need to take the world back. We need to take the world back from the statists that are currently running it, folks. That's where the problems come from. You know, the order followers and all these silly people who do silly things. But anyway, I'm going to leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on this report. It's always a pleasure to have your company, even through these troubled times. I don't know where I'm going to be either. Like, I don't know what I'm doing when I leave here. Like I said, I'm going back to Mexico, but I don't know whereabouts in Mexico. I had a few different offers of places, but, you know, Mexico's a big place. I've got a truck full of stuff there now, and I don't even know where that is. I don't know what I'm really walking into when I go back there, so I honestly don't know when I'm going to be bringing you another video. It might only be a few days, it might be a week, it might be two, you know, it might be a while longer. I don't know. I have no clue where my life's going to go from this point once I leave Texas here and head back towards Mexico, which will be sometime within the next week, I would say. So just bear with me on this, folks. Watch out for all the fake accounts as well, like, you know, fake Instagram accounts, fake Facebook accounts. There's just so many reports from people. You know, my accounts are linked below, or you can go to my website, thecrowhouse.com, and you'll find links to my Instagram, my Twitter, that sort of stuff. You'll find all that on my website. Anybody who ever tries to get you to invest in anything or sell you any crypto or any of this sort of stuff, it's not me, folks. I'll never do anything like that. So, yeah, it's a crazy time. It's a crazy time for all of us, I think. Certainly a crazy time for me. But I'll bring you another video as soon as I'm able. And again, thank you to all those people who've sent me so many kind words and so much encouragement over the years. It's been a long and rocky path. I mean, I've got people that still send me emails and things that were with me before I even started posting on YouTube. Back when I used to chat on a Ventrilo server. I used to be in that little game clan. We used to meet on Ventrilo servers and chat. And people that still listen from back then, it's been a really long and arduous kind of journey, hasn't it? But hey, here we are. And we ain't seen nothing yet. You know, when I said like a few months ago, things are about to go to the next level. Well, yeah, they're really going to the next level. And they're going to keep going. It's going to get even crazier than what it is now. So you just got to find your light and your path. And you've got to, you know, sure, help others as much as you can. But make sure you keep that focus on yourself. Make sure that your heart is true, that you have your connection to the divine intact. Because this is the main event we're heading into now. And it's anybody's guess where they're going to take it. It's certainly an interesting ride, though, folks. At least we're born in interesting times, eh? There's a lot of positive stuff that can come from this if we look at it through the right type of eyes. But I think we're going to find a lot of lessons in how to deal with pain, as I'm having lessons in that myself. At the moment, we're just watching what's happening in Gaza, watching what's happening to Acapulco. All my friends are accounted for in Acapulco so far, except one guy. We're still trying to contact. There's been a lot of people who go missing, and a lot of damage done to Acapulco, folks, like really a lot of damage. Yeah, some of the buildings, I mean, there's a lot of structural stuff is still good, but a lot of the buildings have been very, very badly damaged, and it's hard to imagine that Acapulco is really going to recover from this and ever become what it once was. Interesting, it's all been revealed now that it's also been earmarked to become a smart city. They put out a danger recovery program a couple of months ago. Why they would include Acapulco in a danger recovery program, because it hasn't had a hurricane since like 1996 or something. But they put out a danger recovery program and they mentioned Acapulco in there and that it would be a viable smart city. Interesting how this works, isn't it? Acapulco, a smart city. Also, Hurricane Otis. Otis means wealthy. So I'd say they're going to kick out all the slums, because all the poor areas, all the houses are completely destroyed. So they'll kick out all the poor people. They'll turn it back into a tourist attraction just for rich people. Acapulco was always the jewel of Mexico. It was a huge tourist place for a long time. Perhaps that's their plan for this as well. You know, Hurricane Otis. They're sneaky the way they do things, folks. But yeah, making Acapulco a smart city makes a lot of sense when you think about it. This is the way they do all this stuff, the way they're doing with Queensland at the moment. Fires raging through Queensland, Australia. I warned of this a couple of months ago. I said, watch out, Queensland. They're going to be coming for you guys this year. And fires probably burning along the rail path, the way they were burning on the high-speed rail path in New South Wales last year, or 2019, whenever it was, 2019. 2020, just before we came into COVID, seems like a lifetime ago. But yeah, all of these things happen by design, folks. And again, if we look at things through the right type of eyes, we can see that we have the keys to all this. We hold the keys to our own freedom. And if that's what the focus was, if that's what the focus of the truth movement was, rather than trying to find out what the truth is, because you'll never really know until you're free. If we could put our collective focus on freedom and in our general admission and acknowledgement that the world is run by criminals and that the only way they're able to get away with what they're doing is because we continue to comply with their authority because we somehow think it's real, well, perhaps we'd see the solution that's been sitting there right in front of our faces for so many years. Just depends on how you look at things, folks. You've got to look at things through the right type of eyes. See what this is, and you'll see that we hold the keys to our own salvation if only we would choose to use them. Compassion is the interface, folks. I've said, that's why I finish every show with In La Cache. If you just put down all that stuff with people and just learn to get along, realize that we all want to know what the truth is, so we should focus on freedom because that's the facade that the truth hides behind. We don't have freedom. We never have had freedom. We've had freedom of choice, freedom to fight with each other, freedom to disagree with each other, freedom to be divided, but we've never really had the freedom we need to just be able to step back and maybe meditate and observe and realize that if we were to just treat each other with respect, we could change the world in a day. And the only reason we don't is because we're all caught up in what other people want us to believe reality is. Most people don't even have their own belief system on that. You know, whatever they believe reality to be, it's based on something they read in a book somewhere. It's not based through their own connection to the divine, and I think that we all have that. And as soon as we find that, we'll find that we can heal the world so very easily. Now, even through all this shit, I still have an enormous amount of faith in humanity. Although I do agree that most of the people that are here probably aren't part of humanity. So it's another way of looking at it. But anyway, I'll just keep babbling, folks. So I'll leave it there for now. Again, thank you to anybody who's ever sent me a kind word or a kind email. Thank you to all the people out there on the front line. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution. I could probably use with some because I'm pretty homeless. But, you know, help out the people in Acapulco first and help out this other guy, Eddie, first. He's got a family. I don't have a family. So just help those people that you can through this crisis, folks, and help yourself as well. Make sure you don't deplete yourself. But anyway, I'll bring you another video as soon as I can. I don't know when that will be. I've got to find out where my life's going and what I'm going to be doing. Got to walk into the next portal, step into the unknown, face infinity without flinching, folks. A world of infinite possibility. Anything could happen at any moment, and you just got to be able to step onto that path and know that if you keep your heart in the right place, then it's all going to work. But anyway, I'll leave it there for now. I'll just keep babbling. Thank you for joining me on this report, folks. I'll speak to you again soon. In Lakesh. I'll speak to you again soon, and please, please, pray for the children of Gaza. Spread awareness of what is going on in Gaza. We need to fix this problem. As I said, if we don't, well, it's crucial that we do, because the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. And if that happens, we'll have no one to blame but ourselves. I don't want that to happen. I don't think anybody wants that to happen. I think we have an enormous opportunity to heal the world through everything that's happening, because never before in history have things been laid so bare and given us such a great opportunity to do so. Anyway, folks, I'll leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on this report. Please take very good care until we speak again. In Lakesh. Thank you.